Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
I invite you this morning to the Gospel of Mark. We've been in this series walking through this Gospel. We've entitled the series Servant King. And really, for the next several weeks, we're going to kind of be in a little mini-series, if you will, within the Gospel of Mark. You could entitle it Pictures because we're going to be looking at the parables that Jesus spoke here in this Gospel. A parable, if you're not like, that's not common language for us today. What's a parable? Well, a parable is simply a story to illustrate a moral or a spiritual lesson. And so Jesus breaks into some parables to paint some pictures for us of spiritual truth. And so we're going to look at the parable of the soil this morning. There in Mark chapter 4. And I don't know who among us doesn't have memories of playing in dirt. How many remember when you were a little kid of just like playing in some dirt, right? And I remember my mind went back this week to when I was a little kid living on Wagon Wheel in Fort Collins, Colorado. Me and a neighborhood buddy gathered on the side of my house and we just started digging, man. We were digging to the other side of the world. We dug this big old hole right next to the foundation of my home and we got a brilliant idea because how many know little boys are just brilliant? And we got this brilliant idea. Let's get the hose. Let's fill the, and we were right next to the electrical where the power came into our house, man. And we started filling that mud hole. And just like any wise little boy, you begin to play in the mud hole. And you begin to share your mud with your friend, you know, and then mud started slinging. And mud began to fly on the side of the house. And Mr. Hoffman's house became the perfect target for mud. And so we started slinging mud at Mr. Hoffman's house. Now, Mr. Hoffman was the patriarch of our neighborhood. Mr. Hoffman's yard and his home were perfectly manicured. Mr. Hoffman, every night during the summer, while we'd be out in the streets playing baseball in the middle of the street, all us kids, my neighborhood was awesome. We had like 15 young boys running around the neighborhood all the time. It was awesome. But we would stand out in the streets and play baseball at night, and Mr. Hoffman would stand on the edge of his yard with a hose just watering like this for like an hour, just meticulously. His yard was like perfect. And that day when me and my friend were playing in the mud, his house became a Mona Lisa. And it was not good. And Mr. Hoffman was not happy with little Stevie. It was a bad day nonetheless, but I am here to tell you today that I survived the wrath of Mr. Hoffman. But anyway, I mean, we use idioms, right, involving dirt all the time. We like say things like dirt cheap. We say things like dish the dirt, meaning that's an expression of spreading gossip. Or we say we hit pay dirt, we discovered something of value. We use the expression treat someone like dirt. They treated me like dirt. They treated that person over there like dirt. We use the expression dirt cheap or dirt poor or hit the dirt or put some dirt on it because you need to just toughen up, right? And so as we dive into the Gospel of Mark today, Jesus is still in the area of Capernaum, ministering in this area. The crowds are following him, as we talked about that last week, and he begins to tell stories. Look at it in verse 1 of Mark chapter 4. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd had gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. The whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. Jesus, knowing the science of voice projection and how that works in an open area of water, steps into the boat, asks him to push it out from the shore. He sits down because that would be the common That would be the common posture of a rabbi of the day. As they began to teach, they would sit down and share, and therefore everyone on the shore would be able to see Jesus as he begins to unpack what he wants to talk to them about. The crowd has gathered. They're here to see. They're here to hear Jesus. They're hoping to have opportunity for them to, for Jesus to touch their loved ones, that power may come out of him and there would be healings or deliverances or whatever. But what I want you to see first this morning is just the picture from the Savior. In verse 2, we read this. Look at it with me if you would. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, and Jesus explain the kingdom of God, not by giving a lecture on theology, not by opening up the ancient writings, but by painting a picture for them that captured the attention of the people that were there that day, so that they would use their imagination, that they would use, they would begin to think. How many know it's good to think? Right? Not just to respond, not just to react, but to think. And a parable would cause them to do that. As we said, a parable is a story or a figure, a story or figure placed alongside a teaching to help us understand the meaning. Think of a parable this way, if you're still struggling. Think of it as a sandwich. But not just any sandwich. Let's go with a Chick-fil-A sandwich, a spicy chicken Chick-fil-A sandwich, because can we just pause and give thanks for Chick-fil-A? No, I'm just kidding. But if you would, right, that meat of that sandwich, that's the story. Okay, and then you have the buns, and the bun is the purpose of the story. It's the lesson. And a parable begins innocently as a picture that arrests the attention and arouses the interest of the individuals that are listening. But as you study the story, it becomes a mirror in which suddenly you see yourself. How many of you have ever read a parable and you're like, oh, I've been in that story before? If we continue to look by faith, the mirror then becomes a window through which we see God, we see his truth. How we respond to that truth will determine what further truth God's going to reveal to us, what he wants to teach us. Why did Jesus teach in parables? Well, he taught in parables because it was, number one, it was a common teaching, a common way to communicate in the day of Christ. Judaism was, there were many parables within that context. Secondly, it made teaching more memorable. Often Jesus would be asked a question, right? Jesus would be asked a question like, who's my neighbor? What does Jesus do with that? He breaks into the story of the Good Samaritan. Oftentimes, Jesus would be asked the question, or he was asked the question, how much am I supposed to forgive somebody? What's he do? He breaks into a parable on forgiveness. He tells the parable of the lost sheep, the value of a soul. And then third, parables have had a hidden message or a hidden meaning. If the person's heart was sensitive, they would be able to unpack that message. Those who had a hard heart, though, wouldn't get it. One scholar said this: a careful study of his reply reveals that Jesus used parables both to hide truth and to reveal truth. The crowd did not judge the parables judged the crowd. Parables provide for us a picture of the kingdom of God. And so, if you will, today, the picture of today's story is that of soil. It's the condition of the heart. The condition of the soil determines how receptive it is to the word of God. So today's parable is a big deal. Actually, some scholars would call this the parable that we're looking at today, the Hallmark parable. It deals with how we relate to the Word of God. There are four soils in the parable that we're looking at today. There's the hard soil, the rocky soil, the thorny soil, and then the good soil. And the reality is as you look at this, each one of us possess one of these soil types in our life. In fact, I think sometimes there's seasons in our life where maybe our soil is really good, and then other times where we allow it to get hard, or we allow things to like squeeze in, and we have to be good stewards of our soil. But we're going to see a larger picture behind the parable this morning as well. And perhaps as Jesus begins to teach the crowd that day, As he's pushed out into the water a little bit deeper, and he looks out at the crowd today, he notices above them up on the ridge that there would be a farmer. And that farmer, as Jesus begins to share, that farmer is sowing seed in that field that he owns. And he's walking along and he's sowing seed, and the fields of Jerusalem and Israel are not like the fields of Kansas. They're a lot smaller. There would be pathways right through the middle of someone's field. So don't get in your mind's eye the fields of Kansas, because they're totally different than what is in Israel. And there would be this farmer, and he's casting seed up on the ridge, and it provides the perfect picture for what Jesus wants to talk to them about. And that leads us into the production of the soil. Look at it with me in verse 3, if you would. "Listen, behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky soil, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, and since it had no depth of soil, and when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Verse 7, other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And the other seeds fell into good soil, and it produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And he said, he who has an ear, let him hear. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. Verse 13, and he said to them, Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on the rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of the other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word, accept it, bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Amen. Blessing to the reading of God's word. Amen. Let's talk about the soil. There's the soil that has become hard, verses 3 and 4. This seed lands on soil that's been packed because the travelers are walking that path through the middle of that field. The seed isn't able to penetrate, so it just lays up on top of that soil, and the result is what? The birds eat it. What happens to that seed that lands on the hard soil? Verse 15 tells us, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. Satan robs the seed that has been deposited within the soil. How many know there is an enemy? How many know there is an adversary that is against you and wants to destroy humanity? Satan is real. He is a living, active being. He's defeated, mind you, but he's still active. You say, well, what is the seed? The seed is the word of God. It's the truth about who God is. And when a heart is hard, when the heart is hard, that seed is never given a chance to germinate. Now, what causes a heart to be so hard that the seed of the word of God wouldn't germinate within it? I think there's several things that could cause that. Maybe there is the pain of life, and maybe situations happen to somebody in life. And I think of several individuals that I'm close to that they had an experience and something unfolded in their life, or several things unfolded in their life. And now when you try to talk to them about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's just like, I don't want to hear it. Their heart's hard. Or maybe it's trials in life, and you didn't get the breaks, and you got a diagnosis, or you had a family situation that unraveled, and so now trials have come, and your heart has grown hard. Maybe it's just relational problems, or you know what? Most likely it is. It's pride. So, question. What's the cost of the seed? If you know, as a believer, if you know a heart is hard, you cast the seed. We're going to answer that a little bit later, but or are you cautious on where you put the seed? The next type of soil is this. It's the soil that's shallow. Look at it, verse 5. The other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, and since it had no depth of soil, it isn't the hard surface, but it's shallow. There is no root system to sustain the plant. In order for the plant to grow, how many know? In order for that plant to grow, it has to go deep. Right now, it's summertime and end of July, and how many of you have little planters out front of your house with flowers, and it just looks so pretty when you water. But if you go a few days, right, and you forget to water, it doesn't take long for those things to begin to wilt. It doesn't take long for them to begin to burn up. We have one planter out in front, and we got busy this week and failed to water, and that part of that plant burned up just like that because there's no root, there's no moisture there. There is, let me just say this for all of us in this area. There is personal responsibility to develop your faith. There, you are responsible for developing your faith. If we aren't doing anything to strengthen it, if we're not doing anything to stretch it, we're not doing anything to provide favorable conditions for the depth by which we can grow in Christ, then we're in trouble. We become emotional Christians. Things in life hit you and you unravel. And that's a dangerous place to be. But what happens if our heart is rocky? Look at it, verse 17. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of what? The word. Let's just be mindful of what we call persecution. All right? On account of the word. Immediately, they fall away. I don't know a person, okay? There's a bunch of different people in here today. There's people watching online today. We're all in different places in our relationship with God. And maybe you're here today and you're like, I don't even know if I believe in God. Or you're here today and you're saying, man, I don't believe in God. Someone kidnapped and they brought me here and here I am. Or you're watching online and I don't know if I believe in God. Can I just when you look at Christianity, and if it's true, and obviously I believe, and many in the room believe that it's true. But if it's true, could you not say, if you're not a believer, that it's a good deal? I mean, when you think about it, even if you don't consider yourself a Christian or you don't believe in God, to think the truth and the tenets of the Christian faith, that you can be forgiven of your sins, is that a good deal? I mean, how many of us wouldn't be happy if you got pulled over on your way home from church today because you were speeding? Not that any of us have ever done that. I haven't. you got pulled over for speeding. And man, you were well over it and you knew you were busted. And the officer came back to you and said, you know what? Today is a good day. Because it's July 26, 2020, the only July 26, 2020 you're ever going to experience. So here is a warning. How many of you would be like going, I like that forgiveness right there, right? And if you don't, you can, if I get a ticket sometime, you can pay it for me. All right? Okay, secondly, to have someone pay your debt for you, does that not sound like a good deal? Right? I mean, who wouldn't be like, oh, thank you for doing that? That's what Jesus did for us. Eternal life in the presence of God who paid your debt so that there will be no more pain, there'll be no more sickness, there'll be no more tears, there'll be joy unspeakable and full of glory. Does that not sound like an awesome thing? Someone comes to faith or supposedly makes a profession of faith, and they're emotional and they're passionate about it. But then the emotions wear off because they never dug deep. And it just speaks to you and I of how important is discipleship. How important is it that you have people in your life that are speaking into your life? You're taking personal steps of daily reading scripture, even if it's, man, even if it's just a chapter, even if it's half, but you're meditating upon the Word of God. You're being discipled. You're being intentional in your growth. You're involved in life groups or Sunday school or Women of Valor or men's study or whatever it may be, a youth study. How important is it that we give our kids opportunity to grow in their faith? I mean, the reality is big deal if your kid can swing a bat, but they can't discern truth, right? When we have trials in life, when our emotions flicker, what will we do? Will that push us towards God, or will it push us towards blaming God? Third soil is that which was filled with thorns. Look at it, verse 7. The other seed fell on thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. This seed is able to get into the soil, but its roots aren't able, they're able to go deep, but it dies because of another reason. How many of you have a garden? You know, there's some tomatoes out here on the east side. They're like somebody's garden is like on steroids or something because it's going crazy. And so they brought in a bunch of tomatoes. So they're free. Take them and enjoy them. But how many think in your garden that your weeds grow faster than your produce? It's just like, man, it's like, what happened? You went out one day and it's like, oh, it's looking good. You went out 2 days later and it's like overgrown, choked out. Spiritually speaking, when people have this desire to grow and to develop into what God has called us to do and what God's called us to be, but it feels like there are things holding them back, perhaps holding you back, things choking the life out of the dreams and the calling that God has for you. What causes that? There could be several things, but just specifically in this passage of Scripture, verse 18, and others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. What causes worry in your life? I mean, worries can be real, right? Sometimes worries are nothing more than assumptions that we have, and we allow those assumptions to gain more access and more right into our heart, into our mind than we should have ever allowed them. But worry can choke life out of seasons and situations. I mean, worry is like a python, man. It'll get on you and it'll just coil up real quick, won't it? Maybe your worry revolves around the current COVID climate that we're experiencing. You're like, maybe your worry is like, man, is this the end? Is this the end of the world? Are we like stepping into that moment right now? And should I go buy more toilet paper? Should I, you know, what should I do? What if this is the end of, as President Adams said, this great experiment? What if this is the end of America? What if those dreams that pastor had in Kentucky are legit? What if? And worry, and we better stock up, and we better do this, and we better do that. Can I just, in light of all those things, can I just give you some biblical counsel? Because at the end of the day, that's the counsel that you need, right? It's not someone's opinion. Can God use dreams? Absolutely, God uses dreams. When Robin says, I had a dream, I'm like, oh no, did I do anything wrong? I didn't do anything wrong. Right? Because God has spoken through my wife in dreams at times. I know other people that have had that, so I'm not saying that can happen, but let me, your response to what is going on in life, your response to what's going on in our nation should be biblically based, not based on anything else. Man, that was a really awesome opportunity for you to say amen. Yes, I'm with you, Pastor. Speak to me truth. Man, that was another opportunity for you. Well, I want to know what you're going to say before I say amen, Pastor. This is what I'm going to say. Psalms 121. Would you read it with me? I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen? Or you can go, what if it's the end of it all? I need to go buy Spam and sardines because I don't know what else we'll eat. Oh, Lord. But isn't there a passage of Scripture that says to you, man, would you look at the sparrow? Don't I care for the sparrow? How much more do I care for you? Right? Anchor yourself in what the Lord says to you. Steady yourself in Scripture. Don't steady yourself in your emotions. They're fickle. Just ask the person next to you. Anchor yourself in Scripture. What will keep you from getting choked out? The Lord is my shepherd. What will keep you steady and strong? He will lead me. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. He gives me goodness and mercy. Now, what would you rather meditate upon? That which I just proclaimed to you or MSN? Jesus says this, the lure of wealth. Notice he doesn't say money's bad. It's a lure of it. It's the love of it. Thinking, it's thinking that money can solve all your problems. It's worrying that you don't have enough. It's suddenly life and hope is choked out from you. And then he says the desire of other things. Let me ask you, just another soul-searching question for us, another like a spiritual checkup question for us about worry and really putting worry in perspective. Because maybe you're like many people that have woken up in the middle of the night and you thought, oh, dear Jesus, I have to teach my kid again this fall. Or what? Oh no, we just got furloughed again, and you wake up and you're worried. But let me just try to put it in perspective for us this morning. Have you been kept up at night in light of this parable? Have you been kept up at night because of the worry of thousands of people in our community that don't know Christ, that are a breath away from spending eternity separated from Him? Do I stay awakened at night because of that? Do I spend hours talking to the Lord on behalf of those that don't know the Lord? Last point, last plot of ground, the soil that produces fruit. If you'll notice, four soils. Only one in four soil plots, if you will, happen. To be a place where the seed can flourish. So let me ask you, 75% failure rate, do you plant in those 75% of the fields that you own, knowing that they're not going to produce anything, knowing that they're going to get choked out, knowing that the ground's hard, knowing that it's not deep and the summer heat will just cause that plant to wither? Do you plant there? One kernel of wheat can produce a head that has 50 kernels on it. Do you quit sowing? Good soil, a good heart. It's not hard, it's not rocky, it's not thorny. The greater care I take in this for the believer in the place, the greater, as you listen to this, the greater care that I take for the care of my heart, the more potential to make a greater harvest for Jesus. What does Jesus say about the potential of the soil? Look at it, verse 20. But those that are sown on the good soil are the ones that hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. If the worship team would come, let me just give you a couple applications before we leave here today. First application is this, just practical for you. If you're a follower of Jesus, well, for all of us, really, but it's the care for the condition of your soul. What kind of soil am I? When I look, if I'm honest, to evaluate myself right now, spiritually, what's the condition of my heart? Is the soil of my life healthy enough that that seed can grow? Or are there the cares of the world? Are there the distractions that are going to cause it to get choked out? What's the fruit that comes from a good heart? Well, my mind goes immediately to Galatians chapter 5 and the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, self-control. That it would blossom in our life. Secondly, is do I have safeguards in my life that will help keep me? Well, that will help keep the soil healthy.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.